Welcome to episode 501 of Fly Away. Over the past few years, we've been reminded time and again how much the world relies on travel. From supporting local economies to learning about new cultures, the experience that travel provides helps to make our world smaller and bring us closer together. Here at Outlander Travel, we've been proud to be a small part of bringing that to you through our weekly podcast. My name is George, and this week I'm joined by fellow Outlander travel agents Sandy and Donna. A lot of people dream about visiting Europe for the vacation of a lifetime, but have you ever considered doing it on a cruise ship? And not on just any cruise ship, but on one of the biggest, Royal Caribbean's Oasis of the Seas. Fellow Outlander advisor Kristen just returned from a trip doing just that, and she's here to tell us all about it. So let's get started. So this was a huge and long trip, and we're not going to cover everything because we don't have that kind of time. But what made you decide on this ship, this itinerary, at this time of year?
Good question. So I like to see as many places as I can possibly, and I feel like cruising is a great way to do that, and definitely kind of sometimes more economical way in which to do that and see, you know, it's just a tidbit of all these places that the world has to offer. So basically, I chose it based on the itinerary. There were spots that our family wanted to go and visit, and we were looking to do a bigger ship so that we could enjoy all the amenities on board. Although we only had one day at sea, but that's okay. We made the best of it at that one day at sea. But it was definitely that was part of it, and the time of year was great. Upon researching and doing a little bit of information background, I knew that May was a great time to visit Europe. The time that we were able to go was the more of kind of the start of that season. This was actually the first selling that Oasis of the Seas had for this time frame for this exact itinerary that we chose. So a lot of it was that, and just knowing where we wanted to go and what we wanted to do.
Well, I found also with a really long itinerary, a sea day is kind of your, you need to sit back and you know, take a
and
breather.
They were smart because they planned the sea day for your last day on board. So we crammed everything in, and then the last day was like, okay, you can sit by the pool now. Like you can actually enjoy and chill. So that was, I don't know, Royal Caribbean, great job on that. I mean, that was this itinerary. Now, granted, this one, Oasis this year is doing the start in Spain or start in Rome. So you can kind of choose what works best for your itinerary, your family. We wanted to start in Spain. I knew it was closer to the cruise port as far as us staying downtown and enjoying Barcelona a little bit longer. So I was very intentional on that for sure.
So for our listeners that may not know, Mediterranean and Europe cruises are notorious for a port stop every day. Mm-hmm. So you are not getting a lot of sea days. It's nonstop. Mm-hmm. It's on the go. It's like a Disney vacation on a ship.
That's a great way to describe it. I love it. Yeah, it definitely was. And again, I mean, we wanted a bigger ship because I do have a teenager and a preteen. So we wanted something that did have some extras and some bells and whistles to kind of keep the family busy. However, a lot of it was itinerary based. But again, when I was looking, I intentionally did go, I want an Oasis class ship. And Royal Caribbean has started moving more Oasis class ships, or at least bigger, you know, family, bigger friendly ships over in that area. And so it really just checked everything off of our wish list for that.
So I know this isn't your first experience of an Oasis class. How about the rest of the family?
Actually, it was the kids' first time on an Oasis class ship. And actually my husband's too, because he's done Icon. He did Icon with me. But yeah, this was actually all three of their first time on Oasis, and they loved it. And that was part of it too, is my husband said, I'm going on an Oasis class ship. You've been on one, I'm going on one. And I said, okay, we'll do it then. And we loved it. It was great.
Cool. So you flew into Barcelona. Tell us how that experience was through the airport in the hotel. I assume you did a pre-night stay.
We actually did two nights. And let me tell you, at first I didn't have, I only had one night. And I'm so glad I did, because there was a storm that prevented us from leaving our airport in time. So we were hours late and then arrived in Barcelona hours late. So when you're going to Europe, Like in the U.S., there's things that are very unexpected. If we had not had that second day, then we would have missed being able to tour an entire day of Barcelona. And I highly recommend doing that. We stayed at a centrally located hotel that was near a metro train station that was easy for us to kind of navigate and get around Barcelona, go see the, oh, I hope I don't say it wrong. You'll have to forgive me. And my accent's terrible. Well, we went to the Sagrada Familia, and that was definitely worth an entire, like, it's definitely worth it to go a day or two early just to get to see that and just to see the history. We went through the Gothic quarters and places like that. We are a family of four, so we did stay in more of an apartment style hotel that we really enjoyed. It was great. It was a great experience to then enjoy that beautiful city and the culture that was there and then get on board the fabulous cruise ship. And it wasn't far from the port. Like a taxi was just it wasn't that many euros for us to taxi from there. And the hotel was great. They arranged it for us the night before. So we knew exactly what time we were supposed to be picked up.
And how was embarkation at the cruise port?
Well, so we've done a couple of we've done a lot of U.S. ports, and we've done Hawaii port. And we've done a Europe port before, but it was like it's just a little different than how it's run here in the U.S. So I always say just expect to kind of be a little bit more patient, a little bit more delayed because they're working on things. Now, granted, again, we were the first cruise ship of the season out of Barcelona. So they're going to perfect it. We didn't have to wait in line that long, but did we miss our port time? Yes, but it's okay. I made it on the ship. Like, just be patient and understanding. And they did a good job, navigating that. But they'll get better as the season goes, for sure.
Cool. What kind of stateroom did you select?
So my husband wanted to stay in one of those boardwalk balconies. So we have now ventured that we need two cabins or a bigger room because my kids are getting bigger. And so we decided to do two connecting boardwalk view rooms. Fantastic. Everybody asks about the noise anytime a guest is trying to book that. We didn't have any problems, quite honestly. Like, we felt like it was fine. I mean, maybe if you're putting a kid to bed super, super early, but we didn't. It was fine for us. We had a great experience. And it was nice because we could see people zip line across, and we actually could, where we were positioned, we could see the Aqua Theater show from our area. I mean, slightly obstructed, of course. You can't see 100% the whole thing, but it was nice because we were able to sit there and watch that one evening. And our balconies connected, the interior connected, so we could go back and forth, two showers, two bathrooms, space. Yeah.
Yeah.
Nice. Yeah, the bigger the kids get, the more important that is because they're adult size.
Yeah, and in the past, I never would have thought that. Like, I was like, squeeze in a room, you're fine. And now I'm like, oh no,
You know what? Even when my kids were little, the first couple of cruises, we always did two rooms because you know what? We need two bathrooms.
Well, and that's a lot of it. Is I'm like, we kind of need that to get ready for anything, and or get ready for bed. Like, it's just. Take some space.
So did you feel like the Aqua Theater was loud when you were in your room?
No, I didn't. I mean, remember we're in Europe and soccer or football is very popular. And so Playmakers is like right there. Right. So that would be like because there were a lot of football games going on during that time. So there was a little bit of cheering and wooing from some of the locals. But that wasn't terrible. And again, like pretty much the boardwalk shut down at a decent time. So we didn't feel like the noise was a problem. Maybe if you have a little that is going to bed super early, I think that would be the only problem. But we didn't feel like the Aqua Theater show. It was great because we could just open up our room and watch it. So we watched like four times.
Nice.
Yeah. We really liked it a lot.
I haven't done boardwalk, but I have done Central Park a couple of times in their balconies. Yeah. And it's great at night because you can sit outside and they always have the little, one or two piece band out there, acoustic playing music. And it's great. Puts me right to sleep.
Love it. Yeah, we liked it a lot. I would stay in the one again for sure.
And the price really is a great deal compared to an ocean view balcony.
Yeah, because if I'm getting two cabins, I went from getting one to getting two now, then my budget's kind of like, oh, ouch. And it just did. It made sense. The pricing was great. So, and again, yeah. My husband just wanted a different view. And so I was like, well, we'll try it then. That's sure. If you let me do it, sure. Why? You know, right?
Yeah. Let's
go. The epic adventure.
All right. So where was your first cruise stop and what did you do?
So we stopped in another port in Spain. I don't want to say it wrong. I think Playa de Morca. I'm not sure if I'm saying
Mallorca.
That right. It's close. So that was just like another quick stop there. We did a tour of some of the caves and caverns there. There's like a park that you can go through and do. We did do all of our excursions through Royal Caribbean, because we felt like it was a little bit safer in a European country, making sure we make the port times in time and things like that. It was a great experience because we got to go down into the caves and tour and things like that. They do this little like music. We rode on a little boat underneath the caves and they played music and did a symphony orchestra thing. And it was really cool. It was fun. So that's where we stopped for that one.
Cool. All right. And what was your next stop?
So that was in France, in Marseille. If I'm saying it wrong, you tell me, y'all.
Nope, I got that one.
That was perfect.
Yes, I'm good. So Marseille was beautiful. It's an older town, so there's a lot of history there, a lot to learn and see. Not sure if anybody's fans of the Monte Cristo book or maybe the movie, but my son had just read that book, and so that was fantastic because we actually got to see places where the book took place and where it would have been, you know, the author kind of pulled from. So that was really cool. It was just a neat town. Honestly, hindsight, you don't need an excursion there.
I'm a fan of the sandwich.
Are you? Gonna say that.
That's what everybody says. They're like, how did you eat the food in the sandwich? No, I've just read the book, okay? That's the extent of my knowledge. You know I'm a picky eater. but it was great. I mean, basically, there's a little bus that takes you to the town and back. That is pretty easy for you to use. It's through Royal Caribbean because the way that they have to port in a specific, some of these ports in Europe are working ports, working docks, maybe, you know, naval or shipping yards, things like that. So in order to meet the rules of that, they kind of have to have a bus that takes you in and out where you can't, you know, you could do taxis. Some of them did do that, but I mean, majority of times they're taking you like this one in and out in certain bus times. But it was nice just to walk around for sure. And that day, the Olympic torch, the next day was being delivered for our 2024 Olympics in Paris. So that was cool because they were really gaming up for that. They were really getting excited, the locals and things like that. So it was fun to kind of be in the environment. We left before they came, thank goodness, because it was going to get packed.
That's cool.
Yeah, that was fun.
All right. So tell us a little bit about the ship. Dining. Did you do any specialty or did you stick with Maine?
Yeah. You know, I'm a picky eater, as I said on the last one.
No,
I think I did.
I never knew that.
Never heard it, right? So no. We did the, oh goodness, it's the Japanese restaurant on board where they cook in front of you. Oh, what is the name of that restaurant?
I want to say Kabuki. Or no,
Izumi. Yes. Izumi. And yeah. But it's the one that actually has like the in front of it. And actually
tables, yeah.
We did do that the next day, the day that they did Florence/Pisa, because we just wanted to do something different for dinner that night. And it actually worked out well. We actually had the restaurant to ourselves because we had earlier random 5 o'clock dining spot and it was fantastic. The food was the best I've had is that type of cuisine, if you will. It was great.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice. I've had the sushi was really good when I went to Izumi.
That's what I've heard.
Yeah,
if I eat so sushi,
you should try it. It's yummy.
That's what they all say. But my husband and my daughter fell in love with is it lime and coconut? The Mexican quick service style, if you will, like grab and go. Oh, what is it called? It slipped my mind. It's on some of the Oasis class ships. It's actually on Encore as well right now. No, I'll have to look it up.
It's upstairs near the Sportsplex.
Yes, exactly. That's exactly
where it is. I know the one. I can't think of what it's called. I do.
But they is Loco Fresh. I think it's Loco Fresh. They love it because they love that style of foods. That cuisine is their thing. And so that was really cool because they could, I mean, I did get some chips and like cheese dip and things like that, but you could do all kinds and make your own burrito, quesadilla type stuff. And they love that. That's again included. So it wasn't extra, but I'm good with pizza.
So you were in Italy and you were eating tacos. And
I wasn't, but they were. Let's just be honest. That's funny. No, I was eating, actually, what was I eating? I was eating Japanese food in Italy. That does not make sense, y'all. But I will say, like, some of these cruise ports too, are very far away from actual excursions. So like Pisa, for example, is like an hour, like 75 to 90 minutes one way. So that's something to keep in mind when you're planning excursions and the age of the kids and how long it takes to get places and things like that. You know, should we do something that day? Should we skip it? Should we just visit the town that we ported in? That kind of stuff. But all those are kind of little things to keep in mind because it adds to the amount of time you're off the ship and how much you're, you know, maybe somebody gets fussy or something. Just to keep in mind.
Good point.
Yeah. Some people don't realize that. Yeah, it says you're landing in Paris, and sometimes you're 3 hours away from Paris.
Correct. So, yeah. And so a lot of them, even like in Rome, which absolutely loved, I would definitely go back to Rome and do more there because I think there's just so much history. I mean, I love history.
There really is.
So much. I definitely would go back to that again. But that too was like, it's like a, I'd say it was around an hour's drive just to go to the Colosseum, you know, area. So it was nice. I mean, they were very good. They did a good job, you know, taking care of the guests and things like that. But that was pretty amazing. That was on our bucket list for sure.
Yeah. Okay. So next stop was Florence/Pisa. How was that?
That was good. I mean, again, you could just explore the town if you didn't want to go to any of those. A lot of those tours were 8 to 10 hours. There were some that were like maybe around the 4-hour time frame. But Pisa, yes, you want to go and see it, right? Because it's Leaning Tower and it's cool and it's take your picture. The only drawback is you're literally there for like maybe an hour or two. And you're done because the transfer time is so long. There were some boat rides that you could do in that Florence area and, you know, kind of do a little bit of both even. So, but yeah, it was a beautiful port. It too was a working port. So they had a bus that ran you. If you didn't do an excursion, they had a bus that ran you on and off I believe it was a naval base there for Italy. Yeah.
And did you get a chance to eat in any of these little towns or
cities? Yes, we did. So we ate in Naples, which was our last port of call. We did the ruins of Pompeii. And then my son was like, can we please eat pizza? I'm in Italy. You know, like it's a thing.
Yeah, you think.
And so we did that morning. We had, because our tour for Pompeii was not till late in the afternoon. So we went out and explored that morning to kind of go, okay, where can we stop? Where can we find a pizza place? And so we found a nice local, there's tons of places in these port, local owned places that we can, you know, give back to and support. That's what they need us to do. And so we were able to stop at a nice little pizza place. Did they speak English? No. Did we speak Italian? No. So So sometimes it's just, that's part of the adventure too, is just learning to navigate when the language barrier is there. But there's usually somebody that can understand just enough between, you know, with the guests. But it was great. We cut pizza with scissors. That was mind-boggling.
Okay. Talk.
We had never in our lives, like there were scissors on the table and we're like, if we cut this, are they going to laugh at us? Like, because, you know, we don't know what we're doing clearly. But yeah, we used it to cut the pizza and it was really good. It was, I don't know. They're the home of pizza. So they win.
It's all in the water.
They're my favorite people. Yeah, exactly. That's what, yeah. I love pizza.
Did you try anything adventurous on your pizza? Like, anchovies?
So Mike did order some kind of meat, like their famous one, because he was like, what is your specialty or whatever, and it was some kind of like meatball pizza with ricotta cheese and something else. It was a little too spicy for me, so I'll stick with cheese.
You tried.
our margarita pizza, which is a little bit different than what we have. We've kind of changed it here in the States, but I did eat that. I ate the margarita pizza. It was good.
Whenever we order margarita pizza when I'm with Ellie in London, she's like, it's just cheese pizza. Like, there's no like,
yeah, same. Yes,
there's no like tomatoes on it and stuff. It's like,
oh, really?
Yeah.
Or I'll be like, can I get some spinach on there? And they're like, nah. Like,
that's yeah. Can you put some basil on top of you?
Yeah, like, basil.
Where's my, yeah, where are my tomatoes? Yeah.
No, yeah, I need some more.
The tomato sauce is your tomato. Yeah. Yeah.
But it was good. I mean, it was one of those things we had to do that. And we ate more gelato. Oh my goodness. Like every nice. Stop, it's like, you got to have that. But I really, and I love pastries. So let me tell you, this area. Yes. Thank you. Like I thank you, France. Thank you, Italy, for your pastry and your carbs.
Yeah.
We never be the same.
Did you have
yeah,
coffee?
But you walk
I can't
it
remember.
All off.
Yeah.
Drink, yeah. True. Do you drink coffee? I can't remember.
I do. Yes. I didn't have as much like off the ship. At another portion of this trip, I did venture out and drink some coffee at some other places. But when we were in France later on. But yeah, I mean, that's good. Good yeah. times. You are so busy, though. That's the thing. It's like you're so like just keeping up and trying to do the next thing, which is great. I mean, I like that, but
like yeah, you're very on the go. In
yeah.
general.
In general, yes. It kind of yeah. fits my personality for sure.
Okay. Next stop was Rome. And if the itinerary I see is the same as yours, it was from 7 a.m. to 8 p.m.
Yeah.
So that's a nice long day.
Nice long day. So our tour that day was 9 hours and 45 minutes.
Ooh, wow.
Yes. So again, plan accordingly, right? It was fantastic. So again, they're just starting their season of tourism over there for some of their things. So the company that Royal Caribbean had contracted with to do this, they were like, y'all are our first tour here to do this in the season. And they did a fantastic job. So we did get to see the Colosseum, which is really on my list of wanted to see for a long time. And that was amazing. Oh my goodness, we went to the fountain.
Trevi?
Thank you. No, I was like, Sandy's so family, Sandy. The Winter Tree Fountain. And that was really cool too, because again, we had a local guide. Our guide was from the area. So she was very passionate about Rome and the city and things like that. Now they are putting in the subway system. I don't know if y'all know that, but it's a little old. So they've got some walls up, so it kind of looks a little different right now. But having her to kind of navigate us through that was amazing. But we did. We threw stuff in the fountain. You know, we threw the coin over our shoulder into the fountain and make your wish. Don't do it wrong. Yeah. And that was cool. So we got some great pictures there. It was super busy. I didn't like you see pictures of it, but you don't expect it to be like in this kind of like city, like this right. town. You know what I mean? Like I was like, oh.
Rome was so light. It was like, I felt like every time we turned a corner, there was something that was like centuries old, you know? And then
yes, yeah.
we turned another corner and it was a couple hundred years old. And it was just amazing.
Yeah, it really, really was. And she would, like, our guide was like, so because they're building that subway, they've been doing some new, you know, digging. And they found more stuff.
Oh man, I can
recently.
Only
and she
every
was like,
they
this is
turn
a house.
Around, they find something new.
Yeah, she's yeah. like, we didn't even know this existed, and now this is like centuries old.
Yeah,
and it's
well, the whole like Roman Forum got dug up like 200 years ago. You know, like they just forgot it was there.
yeah, it's like, oh, so well, crazy. Didn't know yeah. that was there. But it was really cool because, again, the Colosseum was one of those big things I've always wanted to see. Mm-hmm. I don't know why, but I just did. Because I guess you read about it in history books all the time.
It's such a landmark.
Movies, yeah. It is. And it was yeah. just gigantic. And just to hear her explain, like everything you'd read about in a book, you're like, oh, this is what happened and it looked like. And it was just really cool.
And like the part of it that fell down in like the year 600 or, you know, I mean, like it's crazy yes. how old it is.
And yeah. yet the structure is still sound, mm-hmm. except that one area, it's like just been cut off perfectly. You know, like get rid of that section. And then we did go to the Pope. Oh my goodness.
The Vatican.
Thank you. I was like, it slipped my mind. So we did go to the Vatican as well. I didn't even know we were going there. I was like, oh, that's cool. So that was a nice little added treat to the day. Now, this tour did include lunch for this one. That's kind of why I chose it, because I knew it'd be a long day. But there were some that, of course, did. But it definitely highlighted all those spots in Rome that we wanted to see. And then I would definitely go back. Like, I feel like I could do... Yeah. Even if I didn't port out of Rome next time, I would want it on an itinerary because I want to understand more of the history and just see it in person. Mm-hmm. Pretty cool.
I would recommend actually just going there.
Well, that too. I mean, I thought even if we just like spend a few days, absolutely.
Yeah. Oh, a few days isn't enough.
How long do I need, Donna? You know, I'll go.
I would do at a minimum a week. And if if you have a little longer, even maybe do two. You could do, Rome has so much to offer that, 2 weeks
This is Donna, the art major, talking.
I know, for real. Well, that's one thing. I'm like, wait a minute, is this involving an art museum? Because.
No. I mean, there are plenty, but no, Rome is an amazing city, and there's just so much to see and so much to do. Mm-hmm. And even after I was there for 2 weeks, I still had things that I didn't hit. So,
and I want to like go inside the Colosseum next time.
They've opened the bottom now. Thing. So,
yes, that is on the next rotate. Like, okay, when I get back to Rome, we're going inside of it. So, I mean, when I booked it, I kind of was. It almost read as if it would go into the Colosseum, but then after further research, it doesn't. And that was okay because I wouldn't have gotten to see the other spots. You know,
did you do the Sistine Chapel?
We did not. Okay. No,
so you got to go back. Yeah,
I know. See what I'm saying? There's so much, right? I mean, it's just, I think it would be one of those things. I definitely would love to go back. So maybe. Mm-hmm. Y'all put it on my list.
There we go. Keep making that list longer.
That list keeps growing.
All right, and the last port stop was Naples/Capri.
Yes, so beautiful. I mean, there's so much to do in Naples. I feel like you could do more time in Naples as well.
Oh, definitely.
I mean, I would love to get to the island of Capri and enjoy that. I mean, there's so much. So because again, we wanted to focus on that history. That was something big request. I kind of, when we plan it, I ask the kids, hey, what do we want to do? Like, okay, what is this place famous for? Is there something you want to see? Like, what do y'all want to do? And Pompeii was of course number one. So we said, all right, we're just doing Pompeii. And then while we're there, we're going to explore the city on our own and then do Pompeii. And that was a definite, yes, it was incredible just to see the sites. And I expected it to be more like, I don't know, sandy than it was. So it was more like not, you know what I mean? Like, I don't know what I had in my mind, but it was great for sure.
I love that your kids wanted to see Pompeii. That's awesome.
I know. Yeah. And honestly, because we homeschool, side note, Micah's unit this year is world history. So it just hand in hand with what we were studying back home, and just to see it on site. You know, that was probably his favorite, other than the Colosseum being a close
good
second.
Good timing. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It was good time. You're welcome.
Turned out really well. Nice.
It was perfect. Good history lesson there. But that was cool. And I will say, I mean, so I know you asked in the beginning about, you know, like the time frame and things like that. And I kind of mentioned the weather. The weather was absolutely wonderful. If we would have been in Pompeii in July or maybe even, I don't know, maybe even into June. I mean, because we did Greece in August and it was stinking hot. But as we were walking through Pompeii, I was like, if this was another month, a couple months, I would be so hot. I wouldn't be able to enjoy the tour as much as I am right now because I was comfortable. Like I was fine in shorts and a shirt. It was totally comfortable to walk around.
And I was there in October, and that's another great time of year to go.
Really? Oh, see, that's good to know too. And I felt the same way in Rome. Like it was nice enough that you could wear, you know, something comfortable and not have to I hate carrying around jackets, so that was nice.
The beauty of the shoulder seasons, you know?
Like, yeah, exactly. Yeah, where it's like
off-season pricing. And it's less expensive.
It is, and that, honestly, that drives me. So that.
That's kind of funny that the shoulder season, which you normally would anticipate would be a lot cheaper, but when the weather's completely opposite, who wants to go in July and August when it's, you know, walking on the face of the sun?
That's when kids are out.
Yeah, that's the, it's like the catch. It's like, okay, it's a great opportunity. Yeah. So, yeah. So if you had stinking schools, man, we have to.
I mean, that's why I loved year round school when my kids were younger.
Absolutely.
Yep.
Oh, yeah. It definitely helped.
So the last day of your trip was a sea day. So tell us a little bit more about the ship and what you loved about it.
Oh man, there's so much to do.
Like, yeah.
Seriously. It's an Oasis class ship and it's Oasis itself, right? The start of it all. So tons of activities you could do without being wet. We'll start with that, right? Like we can zip line. You can do the merry-go-round, of course, if you have littles. You can do the dry slide, the abyss. They did do on that day a carnival in that area, in that boardwalk area. I don't remember had them doing that on another one. Maybe they just have, and I've never noticed. But they did like a carnival with games and family activities and cotton candy, not free. Popcorn, not free. But and then they had cupcakes. Yeah, I know. I thought that was really interesting, but whatever. And then they did a lot of course, like what else can we do? Rock climbing. And then, of course, we have the pools. There were several pools, and there's a great splash area for, like, smaller children with, like, a slide. And then there's, like, kind of more like a even smaller water area for littler ones. And then, of course, we had, what, three main pools that you could enjoy? A sports pool and then two just kind of lounge pool. That's not including, like, the solarium or, like, the suite guest. Well, I don't think they had a pool up there. Sorry, just kidding. But yeah, it was great. I mean, there are plenty of places for the most part to sit. Again, we just kind of hit that sweet spot where it's like not too crowded yet, but these ships do fill up. So, you know, just be, if you want a chair, just kind of be patient and don't hold chairs for too long. But there's the flow rider. They have two flow riders on there. They have the water slides. They have three great water slides.
Do they have mini golf?
They do, yep. So we did a round of mini golf, and they do a family competition mini golf. If anybody's ever, you know, watched
nice.
For that, yeah. Lots of stuff to do on board. I mean, you shouldn't be bored. I mean, you could try.
What were the other shows like besides the Aqua Theater?
So they did Cats on there, nice. The Broadway production of Cats. I thought it was fantastic. I mean, my family all enjoyed it, but my husband was like, can you cliff note that for me? But he had never seen it before. So in his defense, he was like, oh, I didn't know that song came from there. I'm like, oh my goodness. But it was really, really good. Now they only did it like two or three times. And I think it's because of all the makeup and just all that goes into that production. It's very, I mean, it is Broadway quality for sure. It was fantastic. And then the Aqua Theater, it was like Aqua 80. So it was all 80s music, super cool themed. Ooh. It was fantastic. Obviously, we watched it four times. And then let's see, what was the other one? They did another one. Was it called One Sky or I can't remember. There was another show. They were having technical difficulties the day we went to watch it. So we didn't get to see the whole thing through.
Oh,
happens. Yeah, it was good. The part that we did see was really well done. I'm trying to think if there's any other shows.
Did they have the ice show? Skating?
Yeah. Okay. Yep, they had that. And they also have open ice skates for certain times. So if you wanted to do that on board, either on the sea day or another day, that's an option to enjoy. But yeah, they did a great, and actually I liked it. It was really good. It was like fairy tales. It was like based off of Hans Christian Andersen's fairy tales. So that was really cool because it was different things, you know. It was well done. I like that one.
Anything else?
I don't know. I thought it was a beautiful ship for sure. We had a great time on board. I mean, and there's, like I said, there's always something to do. Even if it's not any of those activities, there's plenty of trivia. We love trivia. Even if we don't win, we love trivia.
All right. Well, on that, that's our show for this week. Thanks for hanging out with us. Please like our Facebook page, rate us, and be sure to tell your friends about us. You can find our previous episodes on the podcast page of OutlanderTravel.com, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. We'd love to hear from you. I want to thank Kristen again for taking time out of her busy Yay. Schedule to be with us tonight.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
On behalf of Donna, Sandy, and myself, George, thanks for joining us this week. Gotta fly.